Welcome to the Friday, August 23rd, 2013, Jupilize Me podcast. Jupilize Me. Welcome, everybody. I am Addison Berry, your hostess with the mostest. And today I have with me three folks to talk about a really cool project that's going out on out there in the internets. I have with me Bill Gao. Is that how you pronounce your last name? I'm sorry. I should have checked that.
Actually, yeah, you got it right. It's Liao, like a cat, meow, but with an L.
Nice. And he is the co-founder of Coder Dojo, which is what we're going to be talking about today. And I also have with me Heather James, who is a volunteer with Drupal Ireland and Farset Labs Coder Dojo, which is run in Belfast.
Hello, it's Heather.
And then I also have Mike King, who is the chairperson of Drupal Ireland and also a volunteer for Coder Dojo.
Hi, how are you doing?
Sweet. So the reason I have these three fine folks on the line with me today is to talk about Coder Dojo. And the main thrust there is basically teaching kids open source, getting them involved in technology in a really wide range of stuff. I'm going to let Bill talk a lot more about what that is and what that means once we get into our discussion. But of course, as usual, I have my news and events that I should update you with. First off, just some quick sort of housekeeping things on the Lullabot Drupalize Me front. One is, if you are not aware, we actually have multiple podcasts. So there's also the Creative Process podcast with our creative director, Jared Ponchat. It kind of goes over the entire range of creativity, not just sort of like design or even web stuff, but they talk to musicians and artists and all kinds of really interesting people. And then we also have Insert Content Here with Jeff Eaton, which is all about content strategy. And, you know, the web is about content, really, at least for most of us. So, and we also actually have another one in the works on front-end development, but we will announce that once we actually get that one up and running. But just put it in the back of your mind. And then also, we're hiring. Drupalize Me is looking for trainers. So you can go to lullabot.com/jobs, and there are a number of job openings right now, but for Drupalize Me in particular, we are looking for some Drupal trainers. So if you know Drupal and you love teaching, drop us a line. So anyway, that's housekeeping Drupal news. Just FYI, Prague, DrupalCon Prague regular pricing ends today, August 23rd. So the late price tier is going to start up on Saturday, and that's going to increase the price by 50 euro. So if you're on the fence about, well, should I get my ticket, get it now, or it's going to cost you 50 more euro starting tomorrow. Community board elections are coming up. So we have that at large community board members for the Drupal Association. The nominations are opening up September 1st. And they'll be open for 1 week, so September 1st through 6th. And then the elections are actually going to happen the week before DrupalCon. So keep your eyes and ears open on that. If you want to nominate yourself or nominate somebody else, there'll be more information forthcoming from the Drupal Association on getting involved with that. We'll have a link in the notes so you can find out more about what that's all about and what that means for the community. But you should engage with the community by voting or nominating. Some other interesting news, Drush 6 came out. So, you know, that's cool. But actually, the big thing about that announcement is that they've also moved off of Drupal.org to GitHub. So the entire project is going to be managed in GitHub now, which is interesting. And I think with Drush in particular, that makes a bit more sense because it's not actually a Drupal module. It's not a classic project in that way. But they have a whole document written up on the motivation for moving to GitHub and stuff. And I think it's an interesting conversation that lots of people bring up in our community. So you can go check that conversation out. And then Jeff Eaton is going to be the very first Drupal subreddit AMA, which is Ask Me Anything. And that's going to be next Tuesday, August 27th at 10 a.m. Eastern. So pretty cool that the Drupal subreddit is now doing AMAs and going to be talking to people in the Drupal community. So that'll be a fascinating thing. And let me just tell you, Jeff Eaton is just a funny and whip smart guy. I mean, of course, I work with him and he's a good friend of mine, but I think it's going to be a really fun AMA. So definitely check that out. And then video stuff for Drupalize Me. We're still in the process of releasing using Drupal Book Chapter 3 videos, which this week we released videos on references module and how to work with that. And just an FYI, we recorded a series on Migrate Module basics. So if you need to be migrating content, Migrate Module is kind of the main heavy lifting tool for that. And that series is going to be coming out in September. So it's coming out soon. We're working on it. We're editing it. It takes time, but we're going to get it out as quickly as we can. And then in terms of events, really the big thing on radar right now is DrupalCon Prague. It's coming up September 23rd to 27th. We are a silver sponsor, so we're going to have a booth. So if you want to come and hang out with the Drupalize Me peeps, we'll be hanging out and talking with people and, you know, showing off videos and things like that. Generally having fun, I think. We are also doing a workshop on the Monday, which is Mastering Git for the Drupal Developers Workflow. And it's a hands-on workshop in the sense that we'll actually, you know, go through using Git per se, but it's more about actually how do you use Git with your workflow to get your work done, especially if you're working with a team. But even if you're an individual, like, you can do so much with Git. How do you figure out the best way to use it for you? And the idea is that you walk out with an actual plan for your personal workflow. And then we're also doing the free community tools sprint on the Friday as part of the Get Involved with Core sprint. And I really encourage anybody who's going to be in Prague, even if you're not attending the con, the sprint day is a free day, and that's where you can get to meet all of the people in the community who are working on Drupal. And the Get Involved with Core sprint day is amazing because you start off with this workshop where we get you set up with all of the tools that you're going to need and understand how the general thing flow of things works. And then you have mentors who will sit down and work with you on tickets on Drupal Core, and you can contribute to Core, even if you don't know what's going on, even if you're not a developer. So I really, really highly recommend it. It's a blast, and you really get to do some good in the world, I think. So I check that out. I'm going to put the links in the podcast notes for that so you can figure out what's going on there. Okay, announcementies. Done. Time to talk. So Coder Dojo, it's got a cool name. It's got a cool logo. But Bill, what is Coder Dojo? Like, what's the elevator pitch? Give it to me.
Magic.
Sweet.
Now, Arthur C. Clarke said any sufficiently advanced technology was indistinguishable from magic. And yet, in a time where we depend on the magic of computer code for literally our very survival as a species now, entire generations of kids have been growing up as muggles. Unable to write the simplest line of code, unable to cast the tiniest spell with a computer. And for 2 years now, starting in Cork at the National Software Centre, we have developed a very simple format that allows kids to get together in a room and in a proven, effective way, get deeply involved in the magic of code. And the looks on their faces is, they're just amazing. When they see that they can actually reach behind the screen and actually bend the computer to their will with their own creativity, there's a level of empowerment that's A, addictive, and B, enormously satisfying. That, you know, you see them just take to this stuff literally like wildfire. And that's Coder Dojo. And the entire thing is free. It has one promise, which is open free learning. And it has one rule: be cool.
That's a good rule if you're going to only have one.
Covers a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, on a lot of different levels.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Look, everything from, you know, mucking around is uncool to, Oh my God, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how did Kodo Dojo actually like get started, become this thing that it is?
Well, part by accident, of course, and a lot by design and sweat of the brow. So I met James Welton, the other founder of Kodo Dojo, when he was 18 and just finishing what they call in Ireland the Leaving Cert. And he wanted money for his startup. And he not only had himself as a great coder, he also had two other coders working with him. And I asked him, how on earth did you manage in this day and age to get three excellent coders in a room with no budget? And he said, well, I taught them how to code.
Well, there you go.
And I'm like, how did that happen? He said, well, I won a web award, and my school principal announced this over the PA, or congratulations to James Welton for winning an IRCOM Junior Spider, whatever that is, and for your web for his website. And something really amazing happened. And when I heard this, I was completely bowled over. What happened was that after that single announcement, you hear a random announcement in a random school, and that one announcement created seeking behavior in a complex demographic, across different ages, all different kids. Sort out the nerd. Now, this is not usually a good thing, but instead of wishing to haze him or cause him harm, they all had this question: how did you do that, and how can I do that? So James started a club in his school just to teach all the kids that wanted to show up after hours how to program. And, that amazed me. But then I heard this next tragic news was, having done his Leaving Cert, the school shut the club down because he was no longer there to run it. And, I homeschool my kids. And I have studied a lot of different systems of pedagogy because I wanted to give my kids the best education possible. And I'd already come across a wonderful researcher in Newcastle called Saugata Mitra. And Saugata Mitra has, you look at his TED talk, look at his TED Wish, he has proved beyond any reasonable doubt that if you give kids access to the right context and the internet, they teach themselves almost anything a lot faster than any other form of education you can imagine. And you only need the sort of gentlest of nudges to get them into the right area. And so we took what I'd learned in pedagogy and we took what James had proven in terms of demand, and we sat down and we figured out a format. And we figured out that if we sort of just get kids into a room and maybe get a few mentors around to give them a start, that they'll be able to learn themselves from all the free tools that are out there. And there's a couple of premises. One of the premises is that if kids learn collaboratively, they also develop their social skills and they develop their team skills much, much more quickly. And they actually learn better through discussion than they do if they're trying to learn stuff alone at home in their bedroom. We also discovered that if kids bring their parents along and we make the parents stay, we do not let them drop their kids off as some kind of free childminding, we make them stay, a community of interest gets created. And, after a few months of operation, we produced several very, very talented kids. Harry Moran, who actually at the time was 12 and was acknowledged by Apple as the youngest Apple app developer ever at that point. So he's the first 12-year-old to publish a commercially successful app in the world. And that app is called Pizza Bot if you ever want to play
That's
it.
awesome.
The other thing we discovered was that this is an incredibly beneficial thing for companies to have in their communities. And that came in part because the first venue that I could find that would give us a room for free was the National Software Centre in Cork, which is actually a commercial enterprise. and has a remarkably useful sounding name. you know, because if you imagine, if you've got a scarce number of programmers and they're relatively, you know, old, they have their own kids and they're interested in their kids learning how to program. And, you know, 2 years ago when we started this, I couldn't find a single programming course in any school anywhere. Today, the only countries that have really mandated programming on the syllabus are Vietnam and Estonia. And frankly, while school's great, when you really want to learn stuff, especially something that's creative, I think it's better to learn it in a social setting rather than a classroom setting. And we have plenty of evidence to support that. It's a bit like learning music. You know, you go to music lessons perhaps, but actually you really learn by jamming with your friends.
Yeah.
And that sort of jamming with your friends idea in a cool context has just worked really well. And I don't know anyone involved in Coda Dojo who doesn't get more out of it than they put in just by being in that creative environment.
So it started in Cork, but there are Coder Dojos everywhere. Like, where, I guess, how widespread is it, and how did that happen? Like, how did that expand beyond Cork?
Well, the first thing we did, you know, when we created the format, we iterated it, because we're open source iterative developers, all of us ourselves anyway. So we figured, let's iterate the format. And we experimented a bit too in sort of different age ranges, and we discovered that the younger the kids are, the faster they learn it and the better. And that makes sense, because it's a language skill. I mean, the best coders I know are poets. They have the same economy of expression as a haiku master. You know, it's all about language. So we said, okay, we can actually take kids all the way down to 5 years old. In fact, there's a whole thing called Scratch Junior, which is just for kids who can't even read and write, but they can code. It's amazing. And we said, okay, well, let's define that format. And then we did that really well. We documented it. We proved it. We continued to evolve it and update it. And then we said, well, we've got the first one, and they gave us a free venue. Let's see if we can get a free venue somewhere else. So we spread to Dublin and then Limerick. We found venues in universities. We found other venues in companies, places like IBM, you know, Microsoft, Facebook, Twitter, GitHub. And each time it got replicated, we published that information. We made it open source, and we encouraged other people to copy us and you know, replicate it. And James actually toured the world a bit. He got a donation to him personally to go and try and set up some. And we found it works everywhere. So we're in 36 countries. We have hundreds of locations. We have thousands and thousands of kids operating, you know, every week in venues from community centers all the way through to nearly every college in Ireland, plus every kind of company you can imagine, and not just tech companies either. I mean, there's a stationery company in Dublin that's setting up a dojo.
Nice. That's awesome.
Cool.
It is kind of cool. I'm always delighted by my weekly trip to Coda Dojo. I'm still going to the first one we had in Cork.
Nice. So you've documented this and sort of spreading it, but like, what's actually in, like, what is somebody, like, if I wanted to do one here in Copenhagen, what would I do? Like, how would I go about that?
Well, there is a Coda Dojo just sort of, well, I mean, not really nearby, but in the country next door, Swedes already have one. I think that Coda Dojo Copenhagen, there's a couple that are in the making.
Nice. But
it's very simple, though. This is the pitch that I usually use when I talk to somebody who's running a company. So you could imagine, right, that if there's a sort of tech company, that they might have kids And so, like, I'll ask them, so, you know, how many staff do you have? And they'll say, oh, you know, 40, 50 staff. And I say, and do many of them have kids? Yeah, we've got quite a few kids. Any of those kids learning how to program? No, not that I think about it. Would you like them to? Yeah, yeah. Do you have a canteen? Yes, we do. Is it open after hours? Yeah, yes, it is. Is anyone using it? No, it isn't. No, they aren't. Does it have Wi-Fi? Yes, it does. How about you try this thing out? And that's how Coda Dojo gets started. I mean, it's as simple as, you know, a couple of stated rules and a room where kids can bring their mum or dad's laptop and sit down and actually get a nudge in the direction of A, installing a text editor, and then B, trying a few simple lines of code, starting with, you know, HTML, JavaScript, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So what do the mentors do? Like if I'm mentoring at a Coder Dojo, like how much knowledge, I guess, do I need to have? And how do you actually nudge kids? Like how do you know where to send them?
So there's a lot of love and support that we give people from our core of mentors. We're doing a couple of things actually to spread that and make that easier. One is that we're working with IBM to create a mentor cloud, which will be a child-friendly chat system that allows mentors to just hop into the cloud and answer questions as they come up. When you come into a Coda Dojo room as a mentor, if you have any technical expertise at all, you're useful. You don't have to be an advanced programmer. One of the things that we find, though, is, you know, a lot of kids just don't know how to use a computer. Hmm. You know, you hear this idea that kids are, you know, so much more technically savvy than the previous generation, and I think that's a myth. You know, I know how to switch on a computer, I know how to connect it to a network, I know how to install a text editor, and then I know how to write code. most of the kids I meet are very good at Facebook and Moshi Monsters, but they don't even know how to connect to the Wi-Fi, let alone install a text editor and actually save a document. You know, it's simple skills like that actually are the gateway. In Cork, we have a thing we call the class moment. You get the kids to sit down, install a text editor, Notepad++ or Text Wrangler, depending on their platform, or you show them where Nano is. And then you just get them to write the most basic Hello World web page with whatever message they desire on it, and save it on their desktop as an HTML file. And this is many things that they've never done before. Mm-hmm. And then you get them to double-click on that HTML file. And for the first time in many of their cases, something they've created opens up in a web browser, which back in my day is a bit like seeing something that I've created turn up on the television.
Yeah, totally.
Right? And the look on their face is astonishment. And in Cork, the universal response is pretty much the kid goes, "That's class." Which is Corkonian for, "Oh, that's so cool."
I'll have to remember that, use that.
That's class. Class.
That's class.
Nice.
And so to sum up, if you have any technical expertise at all, you can be a mentor. How do you give a nudge? Just show them that first website, create that first web page, and then show them a bit of Codecademy or some W3 schools. You know, ask them, what would they like to code? Would they like to code an app? Great, show them PhoneGap. You know, if they've learned Scratch or they haven't seen Scratch and they're very young, give them some look at Scratch or, you know, Spark or any of these other new, you know, block-based languages, Blockly. Most of this stuff is so easy. If you have any skill at all, you pick it up yourself. And be really, really able to just stand back and watch. Because yeah. I've found, you know, I've had some very advanced computer scientists come into dojos and leave with their head shaking going, "There's nothing I can teach these kids." You know, I've seen, you know, kids mucking around with Node.js. Good luck finding a university course in Node.js.
Yeah, no doubt. Cool. So I want to change tack a little bit, like jumping off of this whole thing of like being involved with Coder Dojo. So Heather and Mike, you guys are both involved with the Coder Dojo. But what is your involvement and how did that happen? Like, how did you first encounter Coder Dojo? And then what did you do from there?
Sure. Eugene came from Coder Dojo representing the Hello World Foundation and asking four people to get involved. And he came to our Dublin Drupal camp. And I think that, you know, everybody was sort of in the throes of doing so much work. And I think we're all volunteering in an open source community. Everybody feels a lot of pressure. You're constantly with your own deadlines with work, and then you've got your volunteering on top. And I think people were a little intimidated about getting involved. Because what Eugene was asking for was not only a call to action, like, hey, why don't you check out your local Coder Dojo, but they're also considering moving their property over to Drupal. And they looked at various tools that they could have used that, you know, I think, in fact, their current properties are on multiple different solutions at the moment. So you've got people, you know, someone's like hand-coded something lovingly in one language, and then someone's set up, you know, another website and another thing. And then suddenly you have this Tower Babel of technology. And when it comes to it, you really want a place where people can come find out how to start a dojo, just like you're wondering, and how they can get involved. And we need to make that a lot easier. So that's where Eugene's asked us for help. Eugene McDonough, that is. He's now the chief operating officer there at Hello World Foundation. Sort of keep Coder Dojo moving. And for us in the Drupal community, you could think of them sort of like the Drupal Association. So they don't have anything directly to do. You know, they don't change what local Coder Dojos do or don't do. They simply help operations. So I got Eugene to come down to Dev Days Dublin, and we gave a quick presentation about Coder Dojo there, and had the whole group actually. And so this is the Dev Days is really a cross section of European, some of the busiest European Drupal developers who came on site. And you yourself, Addie, came, which was great.
Yeah,
that was awesome. And I think that's really where Mike heard, you know, the call. He's just been finishing, obviously coordinating. He's busy coordinating the Dev Days itself. So, Mike, I guess that's where you started getting involved.
Yeah, well, I also heard Clyde speak at Drupal Camp Dublin in May, but really got, because we were busy organizing Dev Days at that point, so really couldn't give any time. But after Dev Days had died down and successfully taken place, thankfully,
yay,
I got involved with helping to manage the website. So really, at the moment, we're trying to get the main website migrated across to Drupal, get the content in, get everything working so that we've got a core to build on with, as Heather mentioned, the other sort of aspects, features, and functionality of the website.
So you're doing a migration, right, of existing stuff?
Well, we're doing a complete brand new build to get a new design and a refreshed look on the site.
Okay.
But also migrating content, yes.
Right. And who is doing this? You're not doing it by yourself, right?
No, that's true. We've got a few other people from Drupal Island who are helping out, but there are also some other volunteers based in Dublin, and also some members of staff from the organization that Bill's involved in, the Hello World Foundation.
Actually, can I just correct that? I'm not involved in Hello
World. Oh, you're not involved.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. I thought you were. So the Hello World Foundation are giving some time of two members or three members of their staff at certain points as well. So there's a community of volunteers that it also includes the community of Drupal volunteers as well.
Nice. Do you guys know if there is any Drupal stuff going on if there's any Drupal stuff in the Coder Dojos in Ireland?
I do. I know that there are a few kids who are playing around with Drupal and who have done some sites. I mean, some of the kids at Coda Dojo go off into the app world. Others go into the website world. Yeah. Others go and look at commercial stuff. I'd say a roughly similar percentage of kids are going into the various different disciplines, like quite a bit of Ruby on Rails, I see, some Drupal, some other things.
Right.
The easiest thing for kids to learn, we've found, is HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. And then they soon reach the edge if they're doing a website where they think, I need to manage content.
Almost like they follow that, the same evolution that probably all the developers have done in their time.
Yeah, it's not an uncommon trajectory, right? It's like, I want to build a website. Yeah. Oh, wow, this is a real pain when you're just writing everything in static code. How do I do this dynamically?
Yeah,
exactly.
And then you go down the rabbit hole. One of the things, so I went to Drupal Dev Days, which was an amazing event. So thank you very much for running that, for sure. And I met Eugene there and talked with him for a while, which is how I found out about Coder Dojo. And it sounds like an awesome project, and I would like to get more involved. One of my limitations here in Denmark is that I don't really speak Danish. And while many people here do speak English, kids generally are don't speak English as much, or they're way shy about it. So, but that's not to say that I can't work with other people who are Danish speakers to get something started and still be a mentor in many ways. But that aside,
can I just say that every computer programming language on Earth today, that is of any mainstream use whatsoever, is a derivative of the English language.
Yep.
And actually, the default language of Coda Dojo is English.
And I think that that's generally true in the programming world today.
And so the fact that you speak English and not a lot of Danish is actually probably an asset for the kids in your dojo.
Yeah. True that.
For instance, there's a Coda Dojo that I helped kick off in Romania, in Bucharest, and English very quickly became the lingua franca, which is, of course, a bit ironic to call English.
I love that. lingua engelska. one of the other things I talked about with Eugene as well, which I'm excited about, is coming up with a scholarship program for Drupalize Me, because Drupalize Me is Drupal tutorials online, but it's a it's a subscription service. But we're talking about working on a plan for for kids who really are getting into Drupal and really want to try and go far with it, a way to kind of bubble them up and give them free access to Drupalize Me so that they can, sort of open up that door. Because, there's a lot of free resources out there. But it would also be cool if there were paid resources that were made available for free. Obviously Drupalize Me and I have sort of control being the director there. But it would be interesting to see what other organizations could do to open stuff up for these kids as well, I think.
We do have quite a lot of different offers from different organizations. So, and we take everyone very seriously, and the kids love anything they can get their hands on. And it amazes me continuously just how quickly they get into stuff that I have no clue about. everything, like for instance, DigiWeb, the ISP in Ireland, provides free .com domain names for any Coda Dojo kid who wants to set up and a limited amount of hosting, so they can actually set up an external site pretty much immediately for free.
Nice.
There are, Microsoft has offered a whole lot of really interesting freebies. Adobe has offered some stuff. So, you know, there are a lot of really interesting things. GitHub has offered really interesting stuff that's useful. I think, you know, from a corporate social responsibility point of view, enabling bright young kids to learn, you know, what is essentially really hard stuff and enjoy it is kind of like the poster child for the right thing to do.
Well, you know, and it's not just the right thing to do. I mean, and I think especially like, you know, in open source communities in particular, like there's just this sense of openness and sharing and helping other people learn. But honestly, like from a business perspective, if you're involved in the tech world at all, like this is the next generation of programmers and people who are going to run this technology that we depend on. So, you know, there's also just from a business perspective and sense of encouraging, you know, the base of people who are going to be doing this work and continuing the work of whatever business you are in the future, right? I mean, there's actually that to look at too.
Totally. I mean, not just in business, in academia as well. You know, the dropout rate for computer science around the world is an average of 50%. And, you know, most of the time computer science has very low entry requirements. And so a lot of people get into it thinking, oh, well, if it's got low entry requirements, it's going to be an easy degree. And they run headlong into the fact that programming is hard. And if you learn it late, it's even harder because your brain is really, really suited to learning languages, you know, between the ages of 5 and 17. And if you've had no prior exposure and you walk straight into a college degree course, you know, I see college professors tearing their hair out going, you know, these guys can't even install a text editor. How am I going to teach them, you know, anything decent?
Yeah.
And then the converse, of course, is that the next series of lecturers themselves are also
exactly,
you know, come from somewhere.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
My day job is as an investor, and as an investor, the number of startup companies that come to me and say, we've got this great idea for a technology product, and I say, well, have you got a programmer in the co-founding team? And they go, no, we thought we'd outsource all that, you know, to India or somewhere, or China. And I'm like, guys, it's just not going to work.
No.
So sorry.
Yeah, fair enough. So we should probably begin wrapping things up. And so one of the things I definitely want to make sure that we cover on this and put in the show notes, of course, is what are the best resources for people who want to learn more and get involved with the Coder Dojo stuff? What's out there?
So the best resource we have is still our core website, which is coderdojo.com. And there is a page there called Start a Dojo. And on there is an audio guide and a PDF file and a mind map. Now, the Start a Dojo page, I'm hoping in 6 weeks' time, will be considerably upgraded. And I'm hoping that the community side of the website is also going to be considerably upgraded using a tool you might have heard of called Drupal. and yes, we definitely need as much Drupal love as we can get to get that done. Because it's actually a remarkably complex thing, creating a scale-free global movement. Because like Coder Dojo itself has no central command and control other than the site. Coder Dojo itself doesn't even have a bank account. Everything is self-organizing, so it's actually quite complex to make all that hum.
Yeah,
indeed. And we're very grateful to partners like Hello World Foundation for pitching in, and Drupal, you guys for pitching in, because that just makes it all much, much, much easier. And also companies like IBM helping is fantastic. You know,
cool, awesome. Well, I'm gonna wrap this up, but does anybody have any last thoughts or comments or things they want to put out there?
Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, we haven't really spoken about, you know, teaching Drupal, or not teaching, but even sharing Drupal with kids. And what's interesting about it is it kind of goes, you know, after you have learned the basics, I think they, you know, definitely it's important to learn HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. But once you get beyond that, Drupal opens up a whole world to people, to young people who can come up with an idea and see it realized fairly quickly. They can learn some ways that the web is specialized, so they can specialize in, you know, content, modeling content. They could specialize in the front end and what it looks like. They can specialize in, you know, the back end. And there's so many ways that, you know, Drupal can make all of those tools much easier to understand. And I think if you're interested, you can get involved in your local dojo. You don't have to make a lifelong commitment, but you should, you know, be very clear if you're coming in as a mentor, if you can commit to 2 or 3 weeks in a row, you know, offer to do something in Drupal with people, with a subset of people, if, you know, if not, it's not the right thing for everybody. But there's a lot of ways you can get involved like that. And I'm hoping that through my involvement in the Belfast group at Farset Labs, you know, I'll be able to see how, you know, in my role at Acquia as a trainer, I'll be able to, you know, share the learning materials that we have, or, you know, what some way we can make resources for young people that are relevant to them, you know. So I'm only going to learn that by doing it. So I'm hoping other people listen to this will say, yeah, Drupal's really going to be a good fit for young people, and you have a way to share it.
Yeah. Get out there. Share. Yeah. Like, we're an open source community, and we share our software, and we pride ourselves on that. But there's, you know, and the Drupal community is amazing. And this is, you know, just yet another avenue. And there's this program already in place for us to direct that energy towards. Like, we don't have to come up with, you know, as a community, how do we teach more kids about Drupal? Mm-hmm. There's an entire program already set up. And for any kids who are interested in it at all, like, bam, you're there. Mm-hmm. So we should take advantage of that and, like, you know, work together to share this stuff.
And if people don't want to specifically be involved in a dojo, as we said before, there's a lot of work on the back end of the Coda Dojo website that still needs to be done, and will need to be done moving forward to make sure that it's the best experience to give the dojos the best launching pad to get the mentors, to get the kids involved, to get everybody working together. So if you want to volunteer and help with that website work, then definitely do, if you can, get in touch.
Who or where should they get in touch if they want to help out the actual mechanics there? Should they get in touch with you, or...?
Probably, yeah.
See, now what you did?
Yeah. I dropped myself in it there, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely, you can get in touch with me, and I will bring you into the fold.
Awesome. Okay, I'll put your contact info in the show notes on the podcast as well.
Great stuff.
Cool.
From my perspective, the other thing is, you know, we need champions for dojos. You know, if you know somebody who's just passionate about kids' welfare and community, and maybe is not technical, there's a fantastic role for them too in just being the person who comes in, opens the room, greets everybody, you know, tells people where the PowerPoints are, what the Wi-Fi code is, and then locks up the room afterwards. And if you work in an office and there's a canteen or a boardroom that's not being used after hours or on the weekends, you know, beg, borrow, steal it, and start a dojo. It really is that simple.
It's that simple, people, and just good stuff. So thank you all for coming on the podcast. I'm really glad that we got the opportunity to line it up so you guys could be on, because I'm pretty excited, and I think this is a really, really neat program to be involved with. So, and I would love to see more Drupal community participation in it for sure. So, thank you so much. And for my Drupalers out there in podcast land, we will talk to you... Actually, not on the next podcast for me. I'm going to be on vacation in sunny Greece, but we will have the rest of the Drupalize Me team will be doing a podcast 2 weeks from today. Talk to you all later. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all very, very much.